Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Weekly Show. I'm joined with our co-host, Coach Nick. Nick, how are you doing today?
I'm really well, thanks, Coach Steve. It's a beautiful day here and nice and warm, and we are excited about the new challenge.
Oh, yes. It's exciting time in the challenge. It's prep week, Nick. Prep week has officially begun. So the day that this podcast is released is a Tuesday. So prep week started just yesterday on the Monday. So hopefully you've had a chance to log in to the challenge website sometime over the course of yesterday or today, or maybe when you're listening to this. And hopefully you've had a chance to start looking around the challenge website. Maybe you've had a chance to go check out the nutrition workbook, the training template. Maybe you had a chance to complete your profile. Maybe you've done your start photos, but there's lots of things to do in prep week. And we're going to go through it in this podcast here. But I always love prep week. I love how individuals step forward and highlight, you know, their goal, highlight what they want to achieve and really start thinking about, okay, what can I do over the next 12 weeks? So it's always an exciting time to start theorizing, like what could I do over the next 12 weeks? And I love it. I love prep week.
I love it too. I really love seeing people's mindsets just get really focused and asking lots of questions and, you know, just really interacting with everything that is available. There are so many resources. So I love prep week too.
It's so good. It's so good. Look, I think the first thing that we should all consider when we are in this prep week, when we're in this time of, wow, you know, the challenge starts next week. We've got 12 weeks. What can we do? It's a great time to kind of audit our expectations. And those expectations come across three groups of people. The first one is expectations of yourself. So when you're considering like, what could I do over the 12 weeks? You know, some of us, maybe we haven't had fitness and exercise and nutrition as part of our day-to-day lives for quite some time. And we have quite a bit of weight to lose, maybe losing 20 kilos in 12 weeks might be outside of what we could expect. Or maybe if you're new to running, maybe you are unable to be able to run a marathon in 12 weeks. Or if you're new to strength training, you might not be able to deadlift 200 kilos. So we need to readjust some of our expectations of ourselves and really think about, all right, well, what could we realistically achieve over that 12-week period?
Yeah. And also what's good for us to achieve? You know, it's not always good for us to achieve what someone else is doing. So just blinkers on and focus on yourself.
That's right. That's right. The next group of people that we need to assess our expectations of are those people around us. So I'm talking about, you know, the people that live in our house, maybe family, maybe friends, if you're in a housemate situation, maybe thinking about your social circles, maybe thinking about your workplace. And what expectations do you have of those people? Do you expect everyone in your workplace to stop doing, Tim Tam Tuesday or, you know, pizza on a Friday or, you know, after work drinks? Do you expect everyone to stop doing that because you're doing the challenge? Do you expect your housemates to stop, having some drinks on the weekend because that's what they've been doing forever and now you want to make that change? Or your friends, are you expecting them to stop catching up for, you know, pizzas on a Monday night and playing poker or whatever your tradition is with your social circles? Are you expecting a lot of the people around you? So take that moment to think about, what are your expectations of those around you, especially speaking to those with families and speaking to those with partners? Are you expecting your partner to do the challenge with you? Are you expecting your partner to eat the same meals as you? Are you expecting your partner to, I don't know, do meal prep for you or drive you to the gym? Like, what expectations do you have for those people around you? Do you think that they're going to match up? And what could you do if those expectations don't match up, especially as we move into week one, week four, week eight, and, you know, that real tail end of the challenge?
That's right. I think you'll find that when you level up anywhere in life, there will be people that then will challenge you. And they're not always going to be super supportive of you. So I think it's really good to go in with the expectation of not really expecting much from anyone. And then if anyone's there for you, that's awesome, but you're doing it for you. So I'll talk about that a little bit later anyway.
Yeah. And the last group of people to consider your expectations of are the challenge team. So people like Coach Nick, myself, and the rest of the challenge team. Like, what do you expect of us? Because I can't be there in the gym while you're training. You know, Coach Nick can't be there next to you while you're doing your meal prep or in the shopping center with you while you're buying your food. What do you expect of us and how can we actually help you? Because at the end of the day, it is a competition. The challenge is a competition. At the end of the day, it is you and your challenge experience. Coach Nick and I are kind of like the guides. So maybe if you're in a dark room, we're holding the flashlight for you and helping you along the way. But you know, the decisions that you make every day is what brings the challenge together. We can't do it for you. And take a moment to think about your expectations of us. Does it match up to what realistically we can provide for you? And what would happen if your expectations don't match up with what actually happens and what we can actually offer you in the challenge?
Perfect. Absolutely. We'd love to offer everyone everything, but we won't be able to do that. We can only do what we can do, which is heaps. So, yeah, just take that into consideration for sure.
Yes. But look, Nick, as we move into prep week, if it's your first prep week, we're going to take a moment here to talk about some of the key things that you should be doing over the course of this week. Okay. So the first thing I want to comment on is your starting photo. So maybe you've already done your starting photo, or maybe you did your starting photo, you know, a couple of days ago because the entry document was released on our Facebook social hub, but you will need to take a start photo. If you want to go public, so if you're private, no issues. You don't need to upload any photo, no dramas with that. No one gets to see any of your photos that you do upload. I would still recommend that you take a starting photo if you are going privately. But that start photo, you just need the entry document. You're standing up, maybe up against like a blank wall so we can clearly see what your starting position is. And it's more of a reflective tool for you, because if you can see really clearly what your starting point is as we get into week, you know, 2, 4, 6, 8, we can really start to see some clear changes. Or maybe we really clearly don't see any changes where we do need to modify our strategy so that we can continue to see changes. So that information is just really good data so that we can make those decisions.
It helps us to hear about your data as well. So the more data you collect, the more we can actually help you. If you come to us with a question, instead of just going, I'm not losing weight, it's like if you say, I've been tracking this for 3 weeks and I've found that the trend is blah blah blah, we can then come up with some concrete analysis of what's going on, rather than sending you away to track that again before we can answer.
Yeah, and I've experienced that question a lot in my time in the challenge, where an individual would reach out to us on places like the forum and they would say, oh, I'm not losing weight. What am I doing wrong? And my answer is, I don't know, because I don't know what you're doing right at the moment. I don't know what you're doing. And then that person also doesn't know what they're doing because they're not collecting that information. So I will invite you to utilize some of the daily check-in tools, which are found on your nutrition workbook, where you can start recording bits of information, bits of data, such as your body weight changes, the amount of steps you do per day, like your quality of sleep, how hydrated you feel, how stressed you feel, maybe your measurements and uploading pictures of your progress. So these are just some really great tools to start measuring your progress and tracking your journey.
Absolutely.
From here, it's a great time to reassess your program. So you would have signed up to the challenge and you would have either chosen for Maxine's, either Tone and Shape or Get Strong. And then for Max's, you would have chosen either the Get Lean and Ripped or the Build Strength and Size program. So it's time to reassess if that's the program that's right for you. You can change your program by going through the profile section of the challenge website. So you click your name in the top right-hand corner and you can complete your profile by uploading your start photo. Then you could change your profile as much as you want up until week 4. Because once you get to week 4, we need to lock in a program. There's no point chopping and changing every other week, because it's a really quick way to not get results by changing your program over and over and over again.
Absolutely. Definitely. You want to stick with something.
And we do have a range of specialized programs. So these are some programs that we've launched in the past, and you will still have access to these specialized programs, such as the hybrid program, the Booty Builder program, the Ultimate Arms program, Program X, and all the other goodies that we've created in our time. These programs will be built as a 6-week program. So if you are choosing to follow one of those, you can follow them for 6 weeks, and then maybe you choose to switch to another 6-week program. So for example, you may choose to do hybrid for 6 weeks and then finish on something like the Booty Builder, or maybe you choose to start with Legendary Legs and then finish with Ultimate Arms over the course of 12 weeks. So a 6-week program, a little bit different, because they're a little bit specialized programs, but you can find them under the tab called specialized programs.
Gosh, imagine, you know, starting with Legendary Legs and then finishing with Ultimate Arms, you would just be the ultimate giant X.
You'd be a complete package.
You would. That's a great way to do it. I love that.
Oh, that sounds like an excellent plan. Yeah. We're getting ready for Armageddon.
Oh.
Oh, gosh. Look, other things we could do during prep week is, of course, to ask questions on the forum. So there's no such thing as a silly question. We have people join the challenge of all levels of fitness. So we have people who are brand new to fitness, you know, coming back to exercise after, you know, 10 or 20 years off of training, brand new to going to the gym. We have challenges just like that. And we also have challenges on the other side of the spectrum. Those who have been training for 10, 20 years, probably longer than I have been going to a gym, or longer than I've been alive. And they come in and they're asking questions about maximal recovery volume or optimal tempo rates, or, you know, the difference between a leg press and a squat. How does that change the way that the quadriceps activate? So we have lots of different types of people doing the challenge. So the point is that there's no such thing as a silly question. And I will invite you to, you know, frequent the forum, because you may find that that unstructured learning environment, seeing what questions other people are asking, may be a really free way to kind of learn new things. Maybe you have never been interested in macronutrients. I'm talking about protein, carbs, fats, and you see a few posts about protein, carbs, and fats and see how Coach Nick and I answer those questions. You might walk away being like, well, geez, maybe I should care about my protein intake, or maybe I should be interested in the different types of carbohydrates and how they affect my energy levels. So it's a really great way to learn in a very unstructured environment just by kind of frequenting the forum and asking those questions.
That's right. And also, you know that on the forum, it's going to be advice that comes from either one of us, or, you know, it's a reputable source. So it's definitely not going to be what someone's mum's uncle's best friend did maybe yesterday or, you know, 6 years ago. So that kind of stuff can sometimes be a bit confusing, and you can get a million different answers, but you generally find that, you know, we provide you with something that's fairly concrete.
All the best information that we have available, right? Because that's within fitness, you know, both of our careers in fitness, Nick, like things have changed a lot. Heck, even my time in the challenge, like the best evidence available has changed over time, which is why the challenge has changed over time. So we can provide you with the best information that we have available. And if we don't know, I guarantee that we'll go and look it up and try to find that best answer for you.
Definitely. We love doing that too. That's the thing. And then that makes us have extra engagement with, you know, studies that are out there currently, things that we may not have done ourselves and might become interested in. So we love it. It's like the ultimate learning experience, and it's all available.
So good.
Get on there and start asking some questions, because we're waiting for you right now.
Now, once you've gone and downloaded your nutrition workbook and your training plan during this prep week, it's a great time to start testing out some of those programs. We don't expect you to jump in on the deep end and you know, start the program completely in prep week, but it's a great time to test out some of those features, such as, for example, with the nutrition workbook, go ahead and try to practice some of the meals on that workbook. Maybe you start meal prepping. Maybe you choose a few meals and you just start repeating those meals. Maybe you go for the classic chicken, broccoli, rice, or maybe some steak, pasta, and some mixed vegetables, or whatever you choose. We can choose a couple of meals, repeat that meal over and over again, and then we get really good at practicing that meal. And then you bet that once we get into week one, you will know exactly what, you know, 100 grams of chicken look like. You'll know exactly what 100 grams of rice looks like, and you'll know exactly what 100 grams of sweet potato looks like just by looking at it. You won't even need the scales, right?
That's right. And you'll know what works for you with your lifestyle. You might go, oh, that, you know, that particular meal that I made didn't reheat very well. I might try this one, or that one wasn't appropriate, or that one worked beautifully. I could eat that every day. So it's that sort of thing that you need to try and figure out before it starts.
Yeah. Yeah. Then on the training side of things, this is a great time to go and test out some of the workouts or some of the structure of the workouts. For example, the Get Leaner Ripped and Toner Shape program have a unique structure, which might be new to people who have been going to the gym for quite some time, especially that circuit or the metabolic conditioning at the end of the program. So it's a great time to test it out. How does it work? You know, if you are training at home, do you have enough equipment to do the majority of exercises, or do you need to go through and change some of the program to make it work for the equipment available to you? if you are planning to go and train at a gym, go ahead and join a gym, find a gym that works for you. So we can go out and test that training program as well.
That's right. And also even be mindful of times that you will be going to the gym. If it's a busy time, maybe one of the circuits that calls for all the equipment may not be appropriate at that time. So then you can go, hang on, I can't use everything at that time. So I might, modify the circuit and make it something that uses a little less equipment at that time in the gym. So all sorts of stuff like that. That's your time to check it out, see what machines will interact nicely with each other, where they all are in your gym. It's all different for everybody. That sort of stuff. Just play around with it till you become familiar with it and not intimidated by it or afraid, and then you can just use it.
Yeah, so good. Mm. The other side of the training side of things, other than that formal exercise stuff, is the non-formal step counts. And our goal for all of our programs is to aim for about 10,000 steps per day. So if you are doing less than 10,000 steps, we're trying to do more. And if you're doing more than 10,000 steps, great, keep doing that step count. So really try to hit that minimum of 10,000 steps per day. Now, for some of us who are really active, maybe you have an active job, no issues. You hit 10,000 steps before lunchtime, great, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. But for others who may be more sedentary in their jobs, maybe they're sitting at a desk all day, maybe they've got a big commute, so they're in a car for an hour back and from work or whatever your situation is, maybe it's time to plan those steps. Maybe you are choosing to wake up a little bit earlier to get some steps out in the morning, or maybe in the evening after the kids go to sleep or after dinner, or maybe you're doing some steps at lunchtime, but really starting to think about, when can I get some steps in, especially if I'm not getting them normally throughout the day. You may need to supplement that and make some formal time to get some steps in.
Absolutely, because it's a game changer. And if you're not doing it, you need to start doing it and you need to find time.
Now, on the mindset side of things, Nick, it's a great time to really, think about our goals for the challenge. And, when we really think about the challenge, it's broken up into three parts. There's, week 1 to 4, 5 to 8, 9 to 12. They're like 1 month at a time. So they're kind of like our short-term goals. Then we've got the 12-week challenge itself. And that, if anything, is more of like a medium-sized goal. And then we can really consider like the bigger picture. What do we want to achieve over, let's say, 12 months? Because realistically, the 12-week challenge is a very short time. And ideally, within the broader fitness thing that we're doing, we want to be completing fitness and eating well and training hard, doing these things for our life, right? We want to be turning this into a lifestyle. So it's a great time to think about, what can you achieve in 1 month over that week 1 to 4 period? What could you achieve over that medium period of the challenge, 3 months? And then what do you really want to achieve over that year period, in 12 months time? And maybe you are wanting to take a phasing approach. Maybe you want to lose 5 to 10 kilos, and then you want to go through a phase where you're building a little bit of muscle, and then you want to go through a weight loss phase again. Awesome. Once we decide like what our goals are, my advice to you is to write them down. That's when they become a thing. You can visibly see them. Maybe you choose to make like a dream board or a vision board, and you stick them up on the wall, but make your goals a real thing by writing them down.
Absolutely. I think it's really important, because once you start writing goals down as well, you might see that they evolve as you're writing them, and it makes it really clear.
That's right. That's right. And I do want to emphasize that idea of like a phasic approach to your goals. It's really difficult to achieve like multiple goals at the same time, especially when those different goals have very opposing strategies. And within the challenge, our two primary goals are either to lose weight or to gain weight, right? Either lose weight by losing body fat or gain weight by building muscle. And they are kind of opposing goals, because you can't lose weight and gain weight at the same time. So if your goal is to try to build muscle and lose weight at the same time, you have opposing goals. So you're unlikely to achieve any of them. You're just going to be treading water. So it's best to focus just on one goal at a time. Okay, over the next 12 weeks, I'm going to focus on weight loss. And then maybe in the next 12 weeks after that, I'm going to focus on muscle gain. Or the other way around, maybe you focus on muscle gain first, then you focus on weight loss. We're really trying to think about that long-term effect. Okay, what could I do? What steps could I take in this phasing approach to my goal?
And your goal is your own goal. It seems silly for me to say this, but I will say it. If you are trying to chase someone else's goal, it's not going to be enough for you. So if you think, oh, I should be building muscle because that's the thing, but you know that you really want to lose body fat, just stick with what you really want because that's how you're going to get it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Now, I think the most success out of the challenge or any sort of online fitness program is to engage in that community. You know, our biggest asset within the challenge is not our training programs. It's not, you know, you and I, Nick. You know, we're not important in this whole thing. The biggest asset that we have in the challenge is you and our community. So I'm going to invite you to engage in our communities online. So you can engage with other people on places like the forum. There's spaces where you can meet local challengers. Maybe you find someone who lives around the corner from you. Awesome. You can engage with other individuals on the journals. So you can read other people's journals and engage there. And then also on social media platforms. So you can use hashtags on Instagram. So if you are making a post, you can tag Max's Challenge or Maxine's Challenge, or you could use the hashtags Maxine's Challenge 22 or Max's Challenge 22, or hashtag We Are Challenge. So lots of hashtags you can use. You can follow them. You can see what other people are doing as well. You can go ahead and follow other challenges. You know, there are some more prominent ambassadors who post a lot on places like Instagram. So you can go and follow them. They're really cool. Heck, you can follow Nick and I if you like. Then also probably the big one is our Facebook social hub. So a big space for lots of social activities. There we host live videos where Nick and I are tuning in live once a week. We are hosting things like theme days and such. So go ahead and join us on our Facebook social hub as well. So lots of places where you can interact with people online. And I think once you make yourself seen online, that's when big changes occur.
I agree. I mean, you can even make an Instagram that's dedicated to your journey. A lot of people do that, and they end up being awesome because they're colorful and interesting, and it's like a giant visual diary, and other people will look at them and be inspired. And I love seeing those.
Yeah, they're a good one. I like them. Hmm. The last thing I want to touch on in prep week is to, prepare for like that uncertainty thing. Our good friend COVID is just hovering around still over the past 2 years and still lingering in the community. So I'm going to invite you to stay safe if you are going to public gyms, and then also to plan for the secondary effects of COVID. So for example, we're all experiencing like logistical issues at the moment. So, you know, going to supermarkets, you may find that they look pretty bare, especially around the fruit and veggie section or like the meat section. So there are ways that we can still support our challenge. And we could do that by, shopping local. If you go to like a local butcher or a local fruit and veggie spot, you may find that there are abundance of food items there. That's always a good place to go. Talking about like that question around fresh fruit and vegetable versus like frozen or canned fruit and vegetable, I would say that any fruit and vegetable is better than no fruit or vegetables. So if you are throwing your arms up in the air saying, oh, well, I can't get, lettuce and tomatoes from the fruit and veg section, that's it, game over. You may find that you can grab some, that's a bad example, lettuce and tomato. But I was going to say frozen lettuce, tomato. No, okay, that's a bad example. You know what I'm trying to say?
You just can either grab frozen cauliflower.
Frozen cauliflower,
done. It just fixes everything.
Yeah.
So frozen cauliflower.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is you go to the frozen section or the canned section, you can find some fruit veggie there, and that's better than nothing. Yeah.
Well, actually, I won't be too Italian on you, but tin tomatoes apparently are quite good. Sometimes I've heard that they're even better than fresh tomatoes, something to do with the lysopene. You probably know more than me about that. But anyway, I'm just saying it's not the most terrible thing in the world to have the tinned tomato.
Yeah. I have looked at some data that suggests that some frozen fruits and vegetables can have more vitamins than some of the like fresh fruit and vegetable that's sitting on the display shelf. The reason being is that once the fruit and vegetable is harvested, it's snap frozen, so a lot of the nutrients are like frozen in time, as you would. But yeah, if that same fruit and vegetable gets transported on a truck for a couple of days, ends up at your local Coles or Woolies, sits on the shelf for like a day or two, it's slowly losing those vitamins and minerals. So don't be afraid to have frozen fruit and vegetable, or even some canned fruit and vegetable. It in some cases it can be more nutritious and better for you than some of the fresh items,
and so convenient too. I've got to say, I have frozen veggies and I have frozen fruits like blueberries and things like that all the time, and I'm a happy Vegemite.
happy little Vegemite.
Yeah.
As bright can be.
That's right. You should see my smile. It takes over the whole Zoom.
No, so good. All right, Nick, here, just quickly, if you were to tell everyone listening here your number one tip for prep week, what would you tell them?
Okay, so the thing that I've always done in my life, everything that's gotten me to the gym every time, is set your gear out the night before. So I always plan what I'm going to wear, and I fold it up and I get it ready. So it's like it's already on me. I don't sleep in it, but, and also I make sure that I set my food up if I'm going to be away all day, and all the drinks that I will need, like if I'm having some energy drinks, or if I'm having some mineral water, whatever, all there near the door, and keys and computer, whatever it is, and I just put it all in one spot near the front door. So it's like mentally I'm already halfway out the door before I go to sleep. That works for me.
I like that. That's really cool. I can admit that I do a similar thing. Like if I'm going somewhere the next day, I'd pack my bag the night before. And that could be as simple as going to work or going to the city or wherever I'm going. Like I'd always pack my bag the night before. And especially if I'm trying to do a gym session early, I'll always have like my clothes kind of just in a spot to make it nice and quick to get out. It's a good one.
Agreed. Yep, absolutely.
Now I've got a quick tip that you may find helpful. It's just to take a moment to review your environment. Okay, review your environment. And I guess I say this because many of us, you know, join the challenge or start the fitness journey because we're really high on motivation. Yeah, we have motivation, right? And then you've probably heard that saying, you know, motivation sucks because discipline is what gets you there, right? And that's somewhat true because motivation comes and goes. It's not reliable. You can have all the motivation in the world until you open your front door and you get hit by the cold wind or the hot wind, right? If it's summertime right now. But you know, it's the discipline that kind of gets you going. It's like, all right, I'm going to do it. But discipline, you know, slowly wears us down. You know, that's like the slow burn that beats us up. The thing that makes the biggest change to our ability to change is our environment. So I'm going to invite you to take a moment to think about your environment. And that could be your immediate environment where you're sitting right now listening to this. Maybe it's your environment in the kitchen, your environment in your household, or your intermediate environment, maybe your environment at your workplace or in social settings or other places. And if you could make changes to those environments, that's how we kind of override our you know, habits, our behaviors, our routines, because we physically have to do things differently. Like if you move your activewear clothes from like the spare room at the back of the house to the front of the house, you're more likely to put your activewear clothes on because it's easier to get to. You're making these really big changes to your environment, changing your behavior. And then the next part of reviewing your environment is to look for assets, to search out assets and seek assets and then take advantage of those assets. So that asset could be that you have, you know, a neighbor who's a personal trainer. Hey, what if you go knock on their door and say, hey, can I hire you for your personal training services? Or maybe you have a friend who wants to get fit and healthy. Okay, you're now buddies. You're going to go do the challenge together. Or maybe you have, you know, someone who has a meal prep business and you want to go, you know, invest in their business to help you. So looking for those assets in your environment, in your social circles, and it could be like a physical asset, like, you know, maybe you're able to move your activewear closet from the back of the house to the front of the house. That's an asset, you know, and thinking about, you know, really supporting and fostering those assets and then, you know, getting rid of any other liability that's kind of holding you back. So review your environment and look for those assets and then make the most of them.
I love it. Very good.
Nick, let's move on to one of our favorite segments, the non-scale victory segment. So Nick, do you want to take us through what a non-scale victory is and then highlight some NSVs that you found this week?
Yeah, definitely. So non-scale victories are little wins along the way that you can celebrate that don't involve anything to do with the scale and body weight. So things that can, you know, help improve your mindset and have happened to you along the way that could be to do with your fitness, could be to do with your strength, could be to do with the way that clothes fit. Let me actually explain it by reading some out. So the first one that I've got is Kim Rook, and she'll be very happy because I did see this on the Facebook group and I said it's going straight to the podcast. And then she said, then Kim said, that's great because she listens to the podcast. So I hope you're listening right now to your name and your NSV, Kim. So Kim says, So looking forward to this next challenge. As the last 6 week one, my first, I didn't finish the way I wanted, but I learned from it, so it's all good. I'm starting to get ready and back into the groove of 10,000 steps each day, and my new smartwatch tells me how long it's taking to do each K. My small NSV for the week is I've already shaved 2 minutes off my walking pace per K. Not much, but an improvement. So that's great. You know, she's really making the most of her environment. Actually, she's changing it, switching it up. She got a new watch, sometimes getting some new things, you know, associates. It makes you think of change and renewed vigor and goals and things like that. So, Kim, well done.
That's awesome, Kim. And how you doing if you're listening to this? So congratulations. Yeah. And hopefully you could shave an extra minute off your walking pace. That'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. You'll have to let us know because we'd love to hear stuff like that. So the next one is my mate Nicola. So we had a great chat in our podcast. Eventually everybody will get to hear that. Nicola Gibb. Now, she has not actually said this in here, but her latest hashtag for her next challenge is strong and lean for the green bikini. So
wow. Yeah. Step aside, red bikini.
Red for the red.
That's right. Green bikini. Yeah. Okay.
So, but you know what? That got her a top 10 last time because it's a specific goal. So it works. Now, Nicola says, Nicola's brilliant. She really is really into mindset and things. She says, unafraid. I am embracing this word. Maxine's challenge has taught me to be unafraid of the scales. It's only data, and also unafraid of beautiful carbs. Just get the portion right. And unafraid of lifting heavier. And she's got hashtag stronger than you think. So basically that could be our entire podcast. We could pack up and go home. That's our message for everyone anyway. So thanks, Nicola. Love it.
That's awesome. Doing our job, Nicola.
I know. I don't really have anything else to say because that's all pretty much what we want everyone to think of. So just you can rewind it. Oh, that's a tape. You can take it back and listen to that again. So yes. And the next one I've got before it's your turn, I think, but the next one I've got is Ian Lursa. So good old Ian. We love Ian. Check him out because he's really inspirational and his transformation has been amazing. Plus he lifts heavy and he's got great quads. So Ian said, I got a special surprise in the mail today. I thought I would be optimistic and specify an extra large size this time around. What can I say? NSV for me down from the XXL. Woohoo! Gotta love the Max and Maxine's challenge life. So that's illustrated our NSV perfectly. You know, that leaning down, fitting smaller clothes. He's still got his muscles. Ian will be in a world of happiness. Well done.
How good, Ian. Congratulations. Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of the previous top 10 finalists posting photos of themselves in their top 50 t-shirt and really loving that ability to wear that t-shirt. It's a great t-shirt.
I know, and they look awesome.
I found a couple of non-scale victories, and the first one is actually a similar post. So this goes out to Andrew, and I found all these non-scale victories on Instagram. So I went and looked at those who were using our hashtags, hashtag we are challenge, hashtag Maxine's challenge 22, or hashtag Max's challenge 22. The first one goes out to Andrew, and his handle is My Max's Adventure. So he created an Instagram specifically for the challenge, and it's just his journey, which is awesome. And he goes, set myself a goal of getting my hands on one of these top 50 tees when I signed up for the first 6 week challenge back in August. Got this beauty in the mail and wearing it with pride, he writes. So that's awesome, Andrew, that you've achieved your goal, and that's beautiful to hear. And hopefully you wear that top 50 tee with pride and you keep driving hard, and maybe we'll see you in the top 10. I think that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, how good's that? Because there's another specific goal. It's like really simple. I want a top 50 t-shirt. That's the easiest goal. And then you can just work towards that and have that in your mind.
So good. The next one is a previous Coaches Award winner. We have Del Patterson, and her handle is Finding My Zest for Life. And she posted a video of her doing chin-ups, and she writes, first time doing resistance band pull-ups, chin-ups, similar. I think I found my new favorite exercise, she writes. And I love these types of goals. And Nick, I know you love them too, where we're focusing on getting stronger. And an exercise like a chin-up or a pull-up is, you know, there's only one way you can do it. You got to grab hold and pull yourself up. And it's really clear if you can or can't do it. And, you know, I like those goals where it's really clear, like yes or no, it's black or white. You've done a chin up or not. And Dell is doing resistance band pull-ups here. So it's awesome that she's achieved that. And that's now her new favorite exercise.
Yeah, check Dell out, everyone, because also sometimes she'll do our jobs for us as well in a really cool way where she makes little videos, motivational videos, and she'll be like, you know, just there's no excuses. So if you are having a day where you need something like that, Dell is your woman. Check her out.
And the last one here, also on Instagram, it was Kerry Alice Bampton. Her handle is KAlice_03. And she writes, survived my first PT session. Was good to get out of my comfort zone and push myself, or be pushed, she writes. Looking forward to seeing what I could do with this extra help. I love that because, you know, she firstly is looking for other assets, other resources that are available to her, her PT, and she's trying to push herself outside of her comfort zone. And maybe she needs a bit of help to push her outside of her comfort zone. But the point is that she's getting outside of her comfort zone, which I think more of us would, you know, achieve our goals quicker or more effectively by just kind of getting ourselves out of that comfort zone. Because outside of that comfort zone is where the big changes occur.
That's right. Because I think we're all looking for change because we've been in our comfort zone. So there's nothing in there anymore. There's nothing left in there. Let's venture out.
No, so good.
Scary.
Yep. So congratulations to everyone who was our non-scale victory participants this week. I am going to invite you to be part of our NSVs this week. So find a space in your life where you're experiencing an NSV and make a post about it. You can post about it on our Facebook social hub, maybe post about it on your Instagram page or on our challenge website in your journals, because that's where Coach Nick and I spend a lot of time reading your stories. So post and seek out your non-scale victories this week.
Thanks everyone for those. Maybe you can invent a drum roll for the NSVs.
I'm going to have to.
Yeah, hopefully, that'd be awesome.
I reckon if I invent something for the NSVs, then I could sort it out come awards night. That'll be good.
All right. So that's the specific goal for us for this 12 weeks is to perfect the drum roll and practice on the NSVs because we love NSVs. Yeah, well done, everybody. Thank you.
All right, Nick, moving on to our next segment called the Coach's Corner. So this is a space where Coach Nick and I offer our tips and advice for the week. So Nick, take us away. What do you have for us in the Coach's Corner?
Okay, so welcome to my talk on relationships. So I'm just going to talk about navigating relationships when you want to make a change. So I'm assuming that you've signed up, you're already in that sort of 1% of people that want to make a change. You know, you've made a concrete decision to make a change. You're very enthusiastic. You've got your package. You might have your challenge pack. You might have all your supplements set out. You've got your new activewear. And then you tell somebody and they go, are we still going out this week? You know, that's the sort of thing that I'm talking about. Or what about our Sunday roast that you always make? That sort of a thing. So how are you going to navigate this? Because you can't stop having relationships. In fact, you don't want to. And to make this work for you long term, what you really need to do also is find ways to coexist with this sort of thing. So you don't want to think of it as just 12 weeks and you're going to change and you're going to tolerate everything around you. You want to weave yourself in to with your relationships and continue on with that, keep them strong and do what you want to do. So I've just got some tips as to how to go about that. The first one is, so let's just say that you just want to tell, let's just say your partner what you're doing and say that they're not very fit. What you need to do is set boundaries with your partner or with your housemates or whoever you live with, whoever you usually go out with, and say what you will and won't be able to participate in and accept during the challenge. And I think it's really good to have that conversation at the start and be really clear about it. So then if anybody then tries to sort of influence you to accept things that you don't want to accept during the challenge, you can go back and revisit that conversation that you've already had and just say, look, we already spoke about this. So then people get really used to that. And it can even be down to just your family and your family dynamics. It doesn't mean you have to shut yourself away either. You can still participate in everything. There's billions of healthy options that you can have, even when your family's having snacks and other things. So that's up to you with your boundaries to look at those options and decide what you're going to do. If you go to a family movie, you might take, I've always done this, like a protein bar. or even like a banana. You know, my kids have packed me a banana when I've been in prep to go to the movies, that sort of thing. How will your routine change? So that's step two. You need to really think about that, because also in a family, in a relationship, it's not just about you. So you need to figure out what times you might go to the gym. How's that going to affect other people's routines? How can people help you with your new routine? Would it have to be, is it easier if you get up super early? Like a lot of my fellow mums have done, you know, they just do it. They get up super early and just get it done, because then you don't have to worry about that sort of feeling guilty thing, which you shouldn't feel anyway, but as mums you do. And you can just get your stuff done, which actually makes you feel like a better mum anyway. Although I've got to say, now that a lot of people are working from home, that might change a little bit with the dynamics of who's helping out with the kids, which is awesome. That's a positive that's come out of this lockdown sort of situation. Yeah, so let people know if they, or ask them if they want to be a part of your routine. So you never know, maybe somebody in your household wants to do your steps with you. One of my things that I like to do is walk with my husband on a Sunday. So I just say, we're going here, and I boss us around and I say, we're going this route, or we're walking up this hill super fast. It's supposed to be fun, but sometimes it's not that fun because I'm very bossy. But yeah, so I like to incorporate my steps with other people, or I do it with my mum. What can other people around you do to help? Because I'm being a little bit sort of negative, thinking that there might be a bit of resistance, but a lot of people will actually be willing to help you. So if you just say, can you help me by buying some meal prep containers, or when you go to the shops, don't forget the veggies, or look for the leanest cuts of meat, that sort of thing. Manage expectations. So that comes down to what we were talking about before. Yeah, actually, you nailed it before, just talking about your expectations. So we'd love support, but if not, what we really need to do is not have direct opposition. So our expectation would be to have support, but what we need to do is manage it down to going, if someone's not directly being rude to me all the time, then we can work with that. You know, so you don't want to let anyone derail you, basically. Acknowledging and ironing out any potential problems in your environment before you start ensures that the people around you are clear about what you're doing. So that's what I spoke about before, and hopefully how they can help. Remember also that any opposition that you face is not usually about you. It's about the other person. So just say I was back in my drinking days when I was younger, and somebody said to me, I'm going to be a bodybuilder now. One of my drinking friends at the Windsor Castle in Prahran. I would have been like, what? I don't have anyone to have my drinks with anymore. So I would have been the opposition. So it just depends what's going on for that person in their life. They probably will just miss you. So maybe you can find a way to maybe have a coffee and a walk with them or something different. You can still socialize. And also just a tip for the kids, involve them. Involve them in the meals. When you prep the veggies, ask them to choose what veggies they like. Fruits, get them to be included, or even in the shopping, because they love that sort of stuff. I know that you might not think that they do, but kids actually really love to be involved and cook and do a little bit more than what we think that they do. So they're my little tips. Nick's tips.
Nick's tips for relationships.
Yes.
I love it. I love it. And I think you really touched on it where, you know, we join the challenge because we want to make these external changes to our body. We want to be healthier, we want to be fitter, we want to lose a bit of body fat, look good naked, all those good things. But the big change starts with changes to our environment and changes to the relationships with the people in our environment. And a lot of the times it's hard, it's scary, it's intimidating to have those conversations with those people, but you often find that they're the most supportive people, especially if you have a little bit of compromise, like, okay, I'm going to do this challenge and you're choosing not to do it. That's cool. We can still go out and do date night, go to the movies. We can still have time with the kids and all those fun things, but just modifying a few things, we can get there. So that's some really good advice.
Definitely. And the other thing is, I'm not going to be mean, but I'm going to say, don't be an asshole either. Like, because you're doing something, you can't expect everyone to drop every single little thing and, you know, bow down to you as well. That's just my real honest advice. So it's like a bodybuilding competition. You're choosing to do this, and so therefore you've got to accept that there are some things that you'll be doing alone, and that's also awesome.
Yeah, yeah, no, so good. Yeah. All right, Nick, I want to talk about a couple of things, but it's around the same theme, okay? So I want to talk about this concept that we call the biopsychosocial model of fitness, autoregulation, and readiness rating. So they're all kind of the same thing, okay? Now, what I'm mainly talking about is an understanding and acknowledgement of the other factors that come into and alter our training experience other than training itself. So we do need to respect that there's other life stresses in our life that does impact our performance in the gym, and we do need to account for that. Okay. And here's a little story for you. So if you are following me on Instagram, I recently posted a video that I was a little bit embarrassed about when I actually did it, and it took a big hit to my ego. But the video shows me going to lift. And what I was doing was I was squatting, and squatting, I think, was a respectable number. I was squatting 210 kilos, going for a double, two reps. And my goals at the moment are more in line with strength goals. So I'm trying to do like lower rep ranges at a higher load. Okay. And what ended up happening is I do rep number one, rep number two, the barbell hits my little safety arms. I lose my balance. And then I failed the rep. I lowered the barbell onto the safety arms. And then what happens, because I'm an idiot, the whole power rack tips over and crashes into my gym wall. Okay. Bit funny, bit of a meme worthy, but it took a big hit to my ego. I felt like an absolute moron. And since then, over the past 2 weeks, my training has been pretty average because of that experience, right? I'm questioning to myself, what's the point of doing this? I'm an idiot. I almost broke the house, like rah, rah, rah. And the point is, we're reflecting back on that lift. I shouldn't have attempted that weight. I was ready on paper, but I wasn't ready in the day. Okay. Because of the other factors of my life that were impacting that lift. So on that particular day, I had a pretty average sleep. Little baby George, who's 4 months old now, he was kind of going through a little leap, if you're familiar with those. So he wasn't sleeping well. I didn't sleep well. I think it was a pretty warm day as it was. So, you know, I was a little bit off, a little bit brain foggy. And this load was like the heaviest load I was going for a double that I've ever done. I've done a little bit more as a single, not as a double. So I had a little voice in my head. Nah, you can't do it. Don't do it. You'll be, no one needs to know. Rah, 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 rah. So I was talking myself down while I was doing it. So to combat that, I was hyping myself up. So I'm yelling like a moron in my gym. So I had this like expense of energy trying to hype myself up. I had a poor quality sleep. It was warm. I might've been a little bit dehydrated. So I had all these other variables happening before I even attempted this lift. And then I still attempted that lift. So I'm an idiot. I'll put my hand up and say that. But here's the lesson that we've learned from that. So hopefully that you listening to this, don't be an idiot like I am. Okay. So there's these concepts and ideas. That's a little bit theoretical where we look at autoregulation or readiness rating. Okay. So autoregulation is a prescriptive tool where a coach would prescribe someone to train at a certain rating of exertion. And that exertion is normally on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being no issues, no dramas. It was like very low level of exertion work. And then a 10 out of 10 would be high level exertion, like, you know, really challenging, you know, 10 out of 10 effort. So me as a coach might prescribe to you saying, hey, I want you to do squats. I want you to do between 4 and 6 reps of a squat. And I want you to do an exertion rating of about an 8 out of 10. So this works really well for maybe that intermediate to advanced athlete, because then they go, okay, if I'm doing about 4 to 6 reps at an RPE, a rate of perceived exertion of about 8, that means that, okay, on this particular day, I slept pretty good. I'm pretty well hydrated. I'm feeling nice and energized. Okay, I'm going to go grab, you know, 150 kilos for 5 reps. Maybe they're a strength athlete, whatever it is. But that person on the next week, they might have the same prescription. Okay, you've got an RPE of 8 for 4 to 6 reps. That person might have experienced what I experienced. You know, you got baby crying, not sleeping. You've had a poor quality of sleep yourself. You're hot, a little bit dehydrated, brain foggy. You know, things aren't all in line. Okay, maybe this week I'll only do 120 kilos because I'm going to regulate that autonomously through myself. Okay. Within the challenge, we don't prescribe RPE. It's a little bit more of an advanced concept, and it doesn't work well with what we're trying to achieve with the challenge. But what might be helpful for you to apply to the challenge is something like a readiness rating. And this is completely subjective to you and how ready you feel to train. But, you know, let's say if we give that a scale of 1 to 10, like, you know, maybe let's say like a 1, 2 and a 3 might be, you know, I'm not ready to train. Maybe I've got DOMS. I didn't sleep well. I'm not really energized. The music in the gym isn't the music that I like. My training buddy isn't here. You know, we can expect a low level of performance because you've rated yourself maybe a 1, a 2, or a 3, something like that. Then on the other side of the spectrum, maybe, you know, an 8, 9, 10 might be that, you know, you've had 2 scoops of pre-workout, you've, carb loaded the night before, you've had a whole bunch of water and sodium, you've got gym buddy here with you as well, plus, you know, their hot friend that you're looking at as well, and you're going to train really hard. All right, you really like stimulated, you're ready to train. Okay, it's going to be 10 out of 10 effort, all right? And then we have like that middle section, maybe those 4, 5s, and 6s where you're like, oh yeah, I feel okay, but things aren't perfect today. Then what you could do is take those numbers and then scale that to your own training. So let's say you've written down that you're going to do squats, you know, let's say 100 kilos for 10 reps, but then you rate yourself at maybe like a 5 out of 10 readiness because you're like, oh, geez, I'm just really tired today. Like, you know, it's been really stressful at work, bosses on my back to finish this paperwork. And then, you know, the car needs a service. Oh, geez, the kids are yelling at me. It's been a big day. Okay, maybe you scale your training accordingly. So you put 90 kilos on the bar for 10 reps rather than 100 kilos on the bar. Is it a cop-out? No, it's wise training. It's wise training for the other stresses in your life, because we don't want to get to a point where we are so fatigued that we're choosing just to simply not train. It's too much. We throw in the towel, we fall off the wagon because we've done too much. Or we go on the other side of things where we cause injury or damage to ourselves or equipment or people around us, which isn't great. But I think ultimately, like, constant spending lots of time in like high stressful environments and expecting more and more of ourselves ultimately leads to failure. Something's got to give. And we may be at a point where we feel really stoic and saying, yeah, well, I'm going to do 100 for 10 because I did 100 for 10 last week. And I don't care what else is happening in my life. I'm going to do it. But little does that person know that something gives somewhere. And that could be that you reduce the range of motion, you reduce the quality of your training, you cut reps shorter, or you have longer rest periods, or you just, your overall intensity is lower in the gym. So sure, you moved 100 for 10 reps, but it wasn't the same quality. So you kind of, waltz through your program thinking that you're giving a high performance, but if anything, it would have been better if you just scaled it to where you're ready to go, made it work for you. You've completed it safer, you know, for your body, mind, spirit, safer for the people around you, and safer for your goals so that you can achieve your goal. So the main takeaway is to respect the other stresses in your life, especially if you can't remove them. Think about applying something like auto-regulation, where you start to measure your rate of perceived exertion. And you could do that by, once you've completed your set, okay, how hard was that? Was that a 7 out of 10? Was it a 2 out of 10? Was it a 10 out of 10? And we can get better at rating that. And then maybe you start prescribing yourself an RPE. Okay, this week I want to train at like an 8 out of 10, or next week I'm training at a 9 out of 10, and then the final week at a 10 out of 10, and then I go back to the start, 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10, and we cycle through meso cycles that way. A little bit more of an advanced concept. So if you didn't understand that, maybe that's something we could learn a little bit later, or you apply that readiness rating, which I kind of explained very loosely, to kind of just reflect, how ready am I to train today?
That's excellent. Being an empath, I'm all over this. Like, that's just the way I live my life. So I love this. I love the, I use this myself. It works very well for me. But also, being an empath, I can't watch your video. Like, I can't watch things like that. So I want to, and I want to see how you, and I know you're alive now, but like, I just can't. But can you just tell me, like, did you racket, did you miss it? Like, what happened for it to all fall off?
No. So I had a power rack. I was squatting on the outside of the power rack.
Oh, you didn't have the safeties? There was nothing.
There was two safety arms.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And then as I go down for the second rep, the barbell on one side hit the safety arm. Oh, so I was off balance.
Yeah.
So then when I went to stand up, I had no gas because I was like unbalanced.
Yeah.
And then I just like lowered myself down to the squat, lowered the barbell on the safety arms. And then because of physics, I was on the outside of the power rack. My power rack isn't bolted into the ground. Gotcha. The rack just tipped over, and right. you could see it in my face. If you go through, if you wash my face and how it all happened, you could see the moment of like,
And you're an idiot. Like, yeah. Cause you're like, I should have bolted this to the wall, but then you can't, can you? Because you need to be able to move it around for other.
That's people. Right. Yeah. That's okay. So thank you to everyone who said I should get Dynabolts on that social media post.
Yeah. Did someone You had Instagram advice.
Yeah. But I will now be squatting inside the power rack like a more switched on fitness person.
No, but I love that. I love that. But also I think this is a little bit aside, but just because it's quite an intuitive podcast, we're talking a little bit about this sort of stuff. I think it's really important to acknowledge your failures as well and acknowledge things that have happened that aren't perfect and linear for you. Like, because if people look at your Instagram, they'll go, oh my God, he's got a new baby and he just bloody lifts everything all the time. So it's actually good for people to be able to see sometimes that things don't always happen the way that we'd like them to happen or the way that our program says that they should happen. And it's better to just keep going, as you said. So love it. Perfect.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, just touching on that point that you just made, like, I think the problem with things like social media is it really is just a highlight reel. And if you follow any sort of athlete or strength athlete or even just coach in general who's, you know, trying to make it in the social media space, they will only post, you know, their most perfect lifts, their best PBs, and everything is all perfect and proper, right? And I think there's a little bit of humility in, you know, showing the journey. And that's the reason why I wanted to post it was that, hey, like, sure, I think I lift pretty well, but there's times when I don't. And there's times when it's stupid. And there's times when, you know, I should have been smarter and auto-regulated and said, hey, I shouldn't have gone for the second rep. I should have stayed at the first rep. I shouldn't have put 210 kilos on the bar. I should have scaled it back down to 200, right? But that's all part of the journey. And, you know, if you look at any athlete, like, I guarantee that Usain Bolt has fallen over when he's run. You know, I guarantee that Hafþór Bjørnson is like, you know, like, hurt his quad when he's going to go for a squat, or, you know, any sort of athlete has experienced those setbacks. But it's about how you respond to those setbacks, which is important. Like, to me, I responded by having 2 weeks of shit training because I was tired. I was thinking about it. I'm like, man, Steve, you suck at squatting, man. Like, Jesus Christ, you know? And now I've just finally gotten out of it. I'm like, all right, time to get back to work. Like, you can't mope around like you just because you failed this lift. Okay. And that's me, the fitness guy. And I kind of go through that. So if you are experiencing that, that's okay. I get it. It might take you a couple of days, a couple of weeks, but it's all about, you know, getting back into it and doing what we love. Yeah.
And also it's okay to be afraid of a certain number. So say for you, it was the 210. For me, it was 140 because I injured myself once doing a 140 kilo deadlift. And then it was like for ages and ages, I could do 137.5. And then I get to 140 and I'd be like, mm-mm. And it's only just in the last year or so that I've revisited all of that. And you know, I just think that it's okay to have some fear sometimes too. So it's all good.
Yeah.
It means you're getting somewhere, really.
That's right. That's right. All right, Nick, last segment here, we're going to go through some questions that have come up on places like our social medias. So speed run. First question, you can answer this. Can I chat to the coaches in private?
Well, yes. The thing is, unfortunately, we get so many messages. It makes us feel really popular when the challenge is on. I mean, lots and lots of DMs and things can get missed. So just for the general fairness of everything, we don't usually answer many private messages. And also the other thing that you've got to remember is your question 99% of the time is something that other people would love to know the answer to as well. And we like to have like a collective body of work in the forum where we will basically live to answer it. You'll actually get a quicker answer by asking us publicly than you would private, because you never know, we might miss it completely. And then you might think that we're a-holes and we're not.
That's right. Yeah. I usually get told by my partner, who spends more time on the Facebook social hub than I do. And she'll tell me like, oh, so-and-so is asking this question. I'm like, oh, geez, I didn't even see that. So there are lots of questions that get missed on our Facebook social hub. And what often happens is I'm on the forum answering questions and she's telling me about questions on the Facebook group. So please direct your questions on places like the forum. That's where we can answer it in the best way.
Definitely.
The next question here is about Google Sheets. And the question is, I don't like Google Sheets or Google. what do you recommend I do? Okay, so I can answer this. So we have over the past about 2 years transitioned our programs into a spreadsheet, mainly to mirror what our kind of industry standards are around online coaching, where if you engage with an online coach, you'll likely get a a spreadsheet of some sort. And we've chosen Google Sheets, one, because it's free. You don't have to buy, you know, the Microsoft suites or anything like that to use Excel. And it's on the cloud as well. So you can, you know, access the spreadsheet on any device, a phone, a computer, your work computer, wherever you are. And then it automatically saves because it lives on the cloud as well. So if you don't like spreadsheets, which I understand, you know, they can be a little bit complicated. You don't need to like learn all the formulas that we use to build it or how it's all built. I try my best to make it user-friendly, but I'm not an IT guy, so I apologize if it's not user-friendly. The main takeaway is that, you know, you don't have to use the spreadsheet at all. You don't have to use Google if you don't want to. You can simply download the PDF, which is available in the line below where you can download the spreadsheet. You can just click the PDF, and then you can just download that PDF. Maybe you save it to your phone, you print it off, you set it as your wallpaper on your computer, or whatever you do with that PDF. You can simply follow that over that 12-week period. The however part is that if you do follow the PDF, especially around like the nutrition workbook, is that you may not get that real personal experience using some of those customized formulas that we've developed on the spreadsheet. And you may find it a little bit difficult to make swaps. So if you don't like, you know, beef and you want to have chicken, you may have to go and utilize a tool like a MyFitnessPal to work out how many calories it can equate to. So this is all built into the spreadsheet to make it nice and simple and easy for you. But if you do choose to go to a PDF, you might find that you may need to do a bit more work, especially if you want to change the program.
Good.
Next question here, Nick, is routines and mindset are two things I need to work on. Where do I start?
Yeah, that's big. I would start just one bite at a time. So, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. I would start with things that you can change and refine and make little habits of that are fairly simple within your environment. So perhaps habit stacking is a good one to learn routines and habits that you can put together, like perhaps doing some journaling while you're having a coffee, or listening to a podcast about routine and mindset while you're going for a walk. You know, there are heaps of resources about this sort of stuff. So I just would invite you to have a look at our website when everything opens up. Ask on the forum about this sort of stuff. Also, just Google, even on Spotify, look up, apart from all our podcasts, because that will obviously give you a really good insight into a million different things, past challenges as well. So where we interview you, some of our past challenges, they will talk to you about establishing routines and good mindset. Another thing that you can do to motivate yourself or, you know, get that kind of challenge mindset is to join that Facebook group, because there's millions of people in there that will have probably done their walk before you've even, your alarm's even gone off. So those sorts of things can really kick you into gear. And then, yeah, Spotify, look up mindset and you'll find lots of different chats about that sort of stuff. I like Joe Dispenza, Dr. Joe Dispenza. He's really good. So anything like that where you get someone that talks about the bigger picture of life and the way that your brain works is really cool. So I'd start with a few of those things.
Very cool. Very cool. Next question here is, what do you do for snacks and do you even need them?
Snacks.
Okay, so what do you do for snacks? So I guess for me, I'm a sucker for the Max's Shred Bar and sometimes even the Max's Muscle Meal Cookies, even though they're really high in calories. I just really like the taste of them for snacks. I'm also a sucker for fruit. So I really love a good apple in the afternoon. I love a banana in the morning. So for me, I'm usually choosing those snacks that I can kind of like, you know, kind of grab and almost eat with my hands. I think it's a very cultural thing for me to eat with my hands, right? However, I do know other individuals who love to snack on things like, you know, let's say yogurt with some berries or even like some granola in there. Others will choose to snack on things like, you know, just some like veggie sticks with some dip, or even like, you know, rice cakes with some peanut butter. So these are like kind of snacks. Other people will choose simply not to snack at all and will replace that with an actual meal. Mm. So the challenge is built around that real Western diet of, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner with like a mid-morning snack and mid-afternoon snack, you know, very Australian Westernized. However, there are others who would choose that more bodybuilding approach where they'll have four meals a day. So they turn that snack that's on your nutrition workbook into a meal. So they'll have, you know, maybe breakfast, or they'll call that meal one. They wouldn't even use breakfast. They'll go meal one, meal two. They'll have that maybe in the late afternoon, meal three in that mid afternoon, and then meal four in that evening or late afternoon. Okay. So do you need snacks? Well, technically you don't. You know, there was that old saying of, you know, you got to kickstart your metabolism by eating, you know, 32 meals a day or some nonsense, right? No, that's mostly been not supported by scientific literature. We do recommend between like 4 to 7 meals a day, mainly so that we get a bolus of protein. So the main reason why we have breakfast, lunch, dinner, and then snacks is because there's a serving of protein with each of those meals. So we want to have at least 4 servings or boluses of protein, and a bolus is about 20 to 30 grams of protein. So that's the reason why that's built in. So do you need to have an official formal snack where you're having, like, you know, some veggie sticks in some dip? No, you don't need to have like a formal snack like that. It can be a meal if you wish.
Good.
Next question here, Nick, was a question that was actually submitted via our Ask a Question to the Challenge Weekly Show. And this question, in a really summarized form, is I'm pregnant. Can I still do the challenge? So to expand on that, we can include both pregnant women and breastfeeding women, because hopefully there's no pregnant or breastfeeding men listening to this. So Nick, if someone was pregnant or breastfeeding, do you think they could still do the challenge?
Yes, I do. I'll just preface it by saying that each pregnancy is unique, and you probably will have a carer who's ultimately looking after you. So run anything by them if you feel like you need to. But there is an option for your nutrition to tick pregnant breastfeeding. So that will help you with your calories. You know, obviously your goal will change a little bit, because when you're pregnant, your goal can't primarily be to lose weight. It's going to be to grow a human. So that will be your probably primary focus. I can't speak for you, but I'd say that your body's going to take over with that anyway. So you do tend to get a bit hungry when you're pregnant. And breastfeeding, similar kind of a thing. You do need enough calories to sustain that milk. So yes, you can still do the challenge. All the foods, like everything's very nutritious. So that's fantastic. It's actually good to be nutritious and feed your you know, yourself healthy food. So that's great. The thing with the training would be, in general, your advice to not take on anything super new when you're pregnant that you haven't been doing before. So you just have to modify around the training to make sure that you're not taking on anything major, but you can certainly do the challenge, and you can certainly do the steps, and the nutrition is structured so that you could absolutely take your nutrition from the challenge and just make sure that you're getting calories.
I like it. The only comment I would make is for the use of supplements, I would recommend that you speak to a GP if you are beginning to take any supplements, let that be sports supplements like some of the Maxine's range or any sort of supplements. I would also recommend that you review some of the products you are planning to use. And we kind of don't want to be having any products that have thermogenic agents, which are present in a range of the burn, Maxine burn range. And those thermogenics aim to increase your body temperature to help to metabolize body fat. So if you are breastfeeding, we don't really want to be passing that on to baby. And if you are pregnant, again, we don't really want to be passing that on to baby. So you may need to make some modifications to the supplements that you do use, but I would recommend that you speak to a GP.
Good point. Perfect.
Last question here is about the most common drug in the world, coffee. How do I cut down my coffee? Okay. So the first thing I would say is that on the challenge, you don't need to cut down your coffee. So coffee is completely fine, and tea is completely fine to have on the challenge. There's a couple of howevers in there. So the first however is it's probably worth keeping track of your caffeine intake. Research recommends, you know, at maximum between like 400 and 600 milligrams of coffee per day. The average, instant coffee that we find usually has about 85 to 100 milligrams. So for most of us, you know, we want to be capping it out to about, you know, maybe 6 cups of like instant coffee. If you do choose to brew your coffee, depending on how you make it, it could be higher or lower in caffeine. And that can also, a big spanner that gets thrown in the works is pre-workout. So an average scoop of pre-workout is about 200 milligrams of caffeine. So if you do have pre-workout plus coffee, you know, pre-workout 200 milligrams, if you're looking at 600 max, only 400 milligrams left. If you choose to have four coffees a day, okay, you're kind of getting close to more of that like maximum level that most guidelines recommend. And that guideline is a little bit tricky because it's all about genetics, body size. Sure, some people might be fine with 800 milligrams, sure. But the takeaway is that if you're having more than 600 milligrams, you may be impacting your like mental state, you know, anxiety builds up, or impacting your sleep. Okay, so that's the first thing I would say. And the second thing I'd say about coffee is to be cautious about the additives that get thrown into coffees. So I'm talking about sugar, milk, honey, chocolate. So it's a really quick way to kind of add in lots of calories that we didn't know that we were consuming, right? Because that that coffee can quickly turn into, you know, 500 calories worth of energy by, you know, turning it into a double mocha frappe latte or whatever the going drink is at the moment from, you know, like a popular coffee store. So the best advice I would give is just to simply go black, like having black coffee, no dramas. And, you know, for most of us, we benefit from reducing our intake later in the day. So the real question here was, how do I cut it down? Okay, it's a tricky one. So the first one would be to override our habit of drinking coffee by trying to have a decaf. So that way we can still get our taste of coffee, that sense of coffee, and especially if we're having lots of coffee. I'm talking to someone who's had, you know, like let's say 10, 12 cups of coffee a day. That's the person I'm talking to right now. It's going to be super difficult for that person to go cold turkey. It's like telling someone who smokes, you know, 30 cigarettes a day to stop smoking. It's going to be so difficult to just kind of go cold turkey. So it's best if we replace that with another option, such as like a decaf, because the biggest addiction side of it would be the stimulant we get from the caffeine. So we're mainly fighting caffeine. We're not fighting the coffee element. We're fighting the caffeine element. So we could, you know, replace that with a decaf. And then we can also look at supplements like L-theanine. So L-theanine can combat some of the anxiety that comes from caffeine. And you could buy that just from a capsule form or a powder. So if you were to use an L-theanine plus maybe a decaf, we could start to negate some of the jittery feelings we get from a caffeine. So that might help you wean off of some caffeine. Then ultimately, as we can kind of replace more of our coffee or caffeine with a decaffeinated coffee, then we can start reducing our overall coffee intake, slowly reducing our caffeine intake. And then we can get to a point where we do try maybe like this kind of cold turkey approach. And that might be someone who maybe you're having two or three cups of coffee. You've identified that that's interrupting your sleep, causing you to be jittery and anxious throughout the day. Okay. Maybe we come off of caffeine. The side effects is, yeah, you might experience those kind of migraines and headaches for a couple of days. And then you might face some like, you know, mental clarity. You might be like, wow, sleep's so good. I'm not tired at the end of the day. Great. Awesome. And then for that person, if they were to introduce caffeine again, if there was an adequate time between that dose of that drug of caffeine, we may find a decrease in the repeated bout effect, meaning that when we have caffeine again, it'll be a higher stimulus than what we had prior. So instead of having 12 cups of coffee a day to reach a level of stimulation, you might only require 2 cups of coffee and you'll be at the same level of stimulation. So you may benefit from kind of going through this caffeine detox, as you will, literally allowing our nervous system to filter out some of the, I think it's androgens they're called from the caffeine in our nervous system. And then we can kind of reset, as you would, our sensitivity to caffeine. So the main takeaway is, no, you don't need to cut out your coffee. If anything, the caffeine can be great for training purposes. But if you are having like, let's say, a dozen cups of coffee and a pre-workout, okay, we might need to bring it back, dabble in a bit of L-theanine, dabble in some decaf, slowly wean yourself down, try a little coffee detox, and then you may find that you are feeling nice and clear, which is always nice.
Mm. Sounds good, but yeah, I'm not detoxing from coffee. But
no,
I love your thoughts. Not for me.
No, and that's it. Like, I think you know, coffee is totally fine to have while you know, bulking or cutting or completing the challenge, whatever it is, I think we just need to be cautious about the overall caffeine and those calories that sneak their way in, because it's very easy to drink 500 calories and you'll probably still be hungry and want to go and get some more food. So that's an easy way to add calories to our day.
Definitely. And also, on the other hand, it's an easy way to take calories out and, you know, really reduce those calories straight up without having to do anything else.
That's right. That's right. Mm. But look, Nick, let's wrap it up there for episode number 49 of the Challenge Weekly Show. Wow. So if you like this episode, you can check out 48 other episodes of the Challenge Weekly Show, where Nick and I talk about, I think, almost every topic in fitness, which is really cool. And Nick, I'm excited for next week, where we have our midlife crisis, episode number 50 of the Challenge Weekly Show. Get hyped for that.
Excellent. I'll go out and get a sports car.
So yes, if you like this episode, check out the other ones. Or you can leave us a review on iTunes. We like those. Or share it with a friend, you know, help us spread the good word. And we'll catch you next week for episode number 50.
Thanks, everybody.